And that's what the New Testament teaches. But they will live again in resurrection. I can say that with confidence of every person who dies. He will live again in the resurrection. And I can say that now when they die, they sleep. They're at rest. They're at peace. All their troubles are ended. So there's more to it than just with the worms, but you can say they're at rest. They're at peace. Now, these men had gone through this great effort to bring the man in, showing a lot of faith, interest. Seeing that faith, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven you. Because what could be better than having your sins forgiven? I'll tell you what could be better. Being delivered from your sins. Being delivered from your iniquities. Being turned from your iniquities. That's the funny thing is, people believe Jesus can heal. And they believe Jesus can forgive sin. But even though the scripture says it numerous times, that he has the power to turn us, every one of us, from our iniquities. Acts chapter 3, for an example. All the things in the scripture that exhort us and tell us that that promise can be ours. Yet so many people disbelieve it. They're not just ignorant. They actively disbelieve. If you start talking about perfecting holiness in the fear of God, people are going to begin to immediately resist you, for one. To one degree or another. They're going to resist it. Even though the scripture says, in 2 Corinthians 7, the last verse, it says, laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, let's perfect holiness in the fear of God. That's what we're about. That's what we do. But most people don't want to be about doing that. They don't want to be occupying themselves with those kind of tasks. They want to occupy themselves with other things, and they want to just not trouble themselves about their sins. And I tell you what, sin is always a matter of concern. It's not that I fear that God is going to judge me or cast me into hell or some other stuff like that. It's that I fear lest a promise being left, lest I should miss out on something that is mine, that God has promised me. To me, it's not about being afraid of being thrown in jail or something negative. It's about missing a party. It's about missing out on something good. And the thing is, a lot of people, their resistance to this idea, when it is told to them, when it is declared to them, it comes from their evil heart of unbelief. And the fact that they don't, maybe there are other reasons, maybe they're just indoctrinated, but among some of them, doubtless, there is a feeling that I don't really want to go that far. If you aren't willing to forsake sin, you will never be willing to forsake all you have. If you aren't willing to forsake the false doctrine you've been raised in, you'll never be able to receive the truth. He said, your sins are forgiven you, because he wanted them to know that the fact that he was healing them was a testimony to the fact that he had power to forgive sins. I say it just so you know I have the power. So when I say your sins are forgiven you, I can say, get up and walk, but it doesn't matter. I have authority to do both, to forgive sins, to heal the sick, to turn from iniquity, to rise from the dead. He had authority and power over all. As we know from other discourses, the Pharisees become offended at these things. He singles them out. When you're used to being the authority and being in charge and everyone looking up to you and everyone looking to you for answers, when someone suddenly starts telling you, and someone quite young says, you don't know what you're talking about. You're wrong. I have power to do that. You know, they suddenly are like, who do you think you are? And that begins to characterize the relationship between the Pharisees and Christ. They're stumbling at him, and he does not help them to get over this. In fact, he says and does things that intentionally provoke them. And I like what the people say. We have seen strange things today. Verse 27, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, I think in our society today, with all our sinfulness and the way we're really people want to push, you know, they're marrying men with men and so on and so forth. I mean, that's unheard of. Even in societies that absolutely celebrated homosexual relations, they never thought of marrying them, you know. In those societies, you had your wife and family, and then you had your gay lover, you know, like Greece. And they still had wives and stuff, because everyone has the right to be married. Everyone. No one is denied the right to be married. It's just that the thing is, you got to marry someone of the opposite sex. That's what marriage is. I don't want to get on that, honestly. It's just a point that you see how we're pushing the envelope, right? And the popularized image of Christ is of, they love this image of him sitting and eating and drinking with the sinners. That Jesus was a party animal, you know, he just liked to sit back with a bunch of sinners and nothing more than just, hey, I love you, you know, and just to be with the sinners. Jesus loves the sinners, right? But they really forget what he taught concerning what he did. It's not that he sat down with the sinful to approve of them. He didn't come to approve of sinners. He didn't come to comfort sinners in their sins.
If that was the case, he would have come praising the Pharisees and Sadducees for their sins.
If he came to comfort sinners, it was to comfort them by forgiving them and calling them out of their sins and turning them from their sins. Jesus came to heal us. Sin is a disease, and he is the doctor who's come to cure us of this disease called sin. It is a terminal illness that will bring us down to death, eternal death. So when Christ sits down with sinners, it's to call them to repentance. And the sinful of our generation are actually more like the Pharisees, because they don't see themselves as needing healing. See, and I can't look on men's hearts as Jesus did. So this obviously isn't true about every sinner, because I've sinned too. And obviously it applies to me as well. But in me, there's a desire for healing. There's a desire to turn from our sins that God has given us. Maybe not initially, maybe not all the way down the road, but at some point along the line, God puts it in our hearts, we don't like it. We want to live different. Jesus did not come to approve of the sinful lifestyles of these people. He came to call them to repentance. He didn't come to say to people, you're okay. That's what the Pharisees were like. They thought they were okay. In our generation, as I was saying, a lot of people say, I'm okay.